Welcome to Reflections from the Heart, presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. Reflections from the Heart is an outreach of Gospel Reflection, a family ministry of Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. For the next 30 minutes, please join us as we break open the bread of life in the Gospel reading for this Sunday's Mass, as we invite the same Holy Spirit who inspired the biblical writers to inspire us today. And now, here is your host with Reflections from the Heart.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Reflections from the Heart. My name is Keith Nestor, and I'll be your guest host this week. Reflections from the Heart is an outreach of Gospel Reflections. It's a time where groups get together, open with prayer, and read the gospel for this week's Mass. Then the group discusses what the gospel means to them and how it's impacting their daily life. So that's what we're going to do here today on the radio. And joining me today is my good friend, Mr. Jim O'Day from Integrity Restored. Jim, how are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, Keith. It's really exciting to be here.
It's always great to get to talk to you, my brother. I am pumped to look through what the Lord has to say to us in John chapter 9 today.
Amen, brother. Amen. So this week's gospel is, as you said, John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So when the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see, he said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him, since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, let's say a quick prayer before we jump into this discussion, Jim, because that just moved me, my brother. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Jesus, you are that one who opens blind eyes. Help us all, whether we're speaking here today or listening, to see what you want us to see, to be healed by you, to recognize that you wash us clean and that in you we move from darkness to light. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Wow. Jim, you know, the readings today talk a lot about this transition from blindness to seeing, you know, darkness to light. And that's a theme that the gospel writer John, he loves that theme. I mean, if you read the way he opens his gospel, he talks about loving darkness over light and how Jesus Christ is the light of life. What do you think that means today to look at this reading in terms of what God wants to show us and how he does that?
This reading is so powerful to me because I think there's a couple things. The man who was blind was not named, right?
Yeah.
It's just the man who was blind. Well, you know what? I'm the man who is blind. You are the man who is blind. We are all the man who is blind. It doesn't mean we physically can't see, but spiritually, I think it speaks to us in a way that says, "Lord, I need you to open my heart. I need you to open my eyes. Let me see the way you see." And so for me, this is a very, very powerful scripture because I think about, you know, what you and I were talking about just a little bit earlier, how difficult it can be in our everyday lives with our busyness and our families and our responsibilities to actually see the hand of God at work. And I think that's the gift, more than physical sight, that Jesus gave that man.
I agree. I think the message is clear as the church gives us these readings in Lent, that God wants to bring us from darkness into light. And as he brings us into light, that's the message of the gospel, really. But like you said, I'm that guy. Amen. I might not be blind. You might not be blind physically, but each of us has this blind spot, we could say, yeah, in our hearts, maybe more than one, Jim, where we don't really see the light, and Jesus wants to be invited into that space to wash us. How do you think we can go about figuring out those areas where we're blind?
Well, you know, in our work here at Integrity Restored, your work in Down to Earth Ministries and the Rosary Crew, we talk to hundreds and hundreds of people every week, right? And so we see the spiritual blindness in everybody else.
Yeah.
But we don't often see it in ourselves. So I think this Lent, what remains of it, we should all be praying for God to give us that gift of sight. And here's the other thing that struck me, and always does every time I read this scripture or hear this scripture. He used dirt and spit. Two really, really common things. Two ordinary things. Nothing special. There was no magic. There was no explosion. There was no lightning bolt. It was common everyday things. And I think that's where God needs to open our eyes spiritually, in our common everyday situations.
I think that's very interesting how God uses those things, the physical things. And you think to yourself, why did Jesus do it that way? Right. Why didn't Jesus just say the words or even lay his hands on this man? That's Jesus himself is the embodiment of God, right, using the physical to bring forth supernatural miracles because of the incarnation. He is God become man. But I think this is a picture, like you said, of how God wants to work in the everyday mundane areas of life. You know, with Jesus, anything that we have can be used to help bring us into that sight. But what's interesting is, you know, you mentioned the fact that we don't always recognize what our own blind spots are.
Right.
It's tough. That's why they're blind spots, right? Because if we saw them, then we would know. But that's why we need one another, isn't it? To help each other, to say, hey, look, I want you to think about something here. Have you considered it this way? Have you thought about that? Because it's easy to deceive ourselves, isn't it, Jim? Into thinking that we're okay, or to make excuses for one another. So there's one extreme I think we see in this particular story, which I want to get into in a second, which is people who aren't that excited about this blind man's sight. But before we get to that, I want to ask you this question about how do you think we can help one another expose those deeds of darkness, as the second reading says in the text, in our epistle for this week. But how can we help one another to be more aware of those blind spots?
Well, I think that's a great responsibility that we have as brothers to each other, as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I think about my return after many, many years to the Catholic Church. And it was only because a brother who was my boss at the time had the courage to call me out. He had the courage to say, you know, I've been praying for you, and the Lord has asked me to speak to you. And I didn't want to hear it, but he was absolutely right. And that opened my eyes and started a journey back for myself and my family, which was amazing. And so I think we have to be willing to, in all charity and love and with great mercy, tell people when we see something wrong. Not to judge or condemn them, but to give them a way back, just like Jesus did a few days ago, the woman at the well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, because as we're all the blind man, Keith, we're all the woman at the well too.
Absolutely. Now, here's what's interesting is when we think about Jesus coming to this man, he just basically approached him. You know, this man didn't come to Jesus and say, you know, and I think it's funny. We have different versions of different healings in the Gospels where some people come to Jesus and say, hey, I believe you're the Son of God. Heal me. And Jesus says, okay, let's do that. But in this particular instance, what happens? Jesus goes to this guy. And I think that that's, you know, Jesus doesn't even know who he is. When they question him later, who is this guy? I don't know. And I think that what's beautiful about that is, again, it's a picture of all of us as the blind man. You know, you didn't seek Jesus on your own, and neither did I. None of us do.
Right.
We are who we are in Christ because he moves first. Mm-hmm. He comes to us and he offers the opportunity. Now, this guy had to respond to that opportunity, didn't he? Jesus didn't hold him down and say, look, I'm going to heal you whether you like it or not, buddy. He had his part to play, didn't he? Yeah, he had to go and do what Jesus, and think about, and I think this is one of the reasons why Jesus does it this way. My own speculation, Jim. But Jesus kind of gives him something ridiculous to do. Spit and mud on your eyes. Now go wash in this pool. Right. Like, what if that guy would have been like, what did you just do to me? Why did you do that? Why was that necessary?
Yeah.
You know, I'm already blind and now you're making it worse. You're rubbing mud on my face. Like, come on, man. Like, what are you trying to do? But no, he listened to what Jesus was doing. And get this, he cooperated with the work of God in his life. Amen. And then he was able to see. So there was this element of faith that was present and obedience. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that Jesus is the one who came to him when this guy didn't figure it out. And I think that's important because a lot of people have this idea that, well, I would love to get right with God, but I'm just not good enough. He would never accept me. I don't have it all figured out. I have to figure all this out first. So then I can be acceptable again. It's almost as if people have this expectation that they can heal themselves before they can go to Jesus.
Oh, we all have that expectation. That's why we fail miserably.
Exactly.
In my work here at Integrity Restored, I hear that all the time. And what I tell people is, you know what's amazing? And this scripture absolutely shows it. Out of the darkness, God can make incredible things happen. He didn't ask that man to do anything to be successful. He just asked him to cooperate. And that's the same thing he's asking from all of us. Let him use you. Cooperate with him. And that darkness that you've been stuck in, whether it's pornography addiction or another addiction or depression or anxiety, whatever you're struggling with, let him use you. He will bring you out of that darkness. And then your light helps other people. Because I guarantee you, this blind man was the talk of the town.
Oh, there was no doubt he was the talk of the town. We're going to get to that in a second. But I want to hit on something you just said. You know, when we think that we can do it on our own, that's why we stay in that darkness. See, and the reality is, that's what darkness is. Darkness is the lack of ability to perceive what is around you. And when you are in darkness, you can't get yourself out of that. You need to be led. So as this is the picture for all of us, ask yourself this question, my friends. Where is God trying to lead you? And how is he guiding you? What is he telling you to do that you have to respond to get you out of the darkness? But there's this tendency also to think then, well, if he doesn't do it the way I want, then you know, we're going to reject that. And that's exactly what happened to this man. You know, the Pharisees saw what happened and they were marveling, not at the fact that this guy could see, but they wanted to like, hey, wait a minute. He did this on the wrong day. Who was this guy? We have to step in here and control this. I mean, sometimes people can do that, right?
Well, it happens often in any kind of healing, right? You're going to have some people who just are not happy about it. And most of those people, these Pharisees, I would say, you know, they were not physically blind, but they were stuck in their own blindness. And so seeing somebody else miraculously healed like that made them very uncomfortable, because they were supposed to be the ones in charge of doling out that kind of thing.
Yeah. And what's also interesting is that if you notice, the Pharisees had this view that this guy deserved it because either he sinned or his parents sinned, right? Yeah. You know, that's the thing. It's just like, you know, what is the deal? Why did this guy, you know, he says to him, you are steeped in sin. Don't lecture us.
Yeah. As if they weren't as well.
Exactly.
That's exactly. The spiritual blindness, right? And so, but we all can be guilty of that, right? You know, well, I make sure I go to Mass every Sunday and every feast day, and I'm a really good Catholic. But what blindness do you have? Where are your blind spots? Because we all have them.
Well, in the longer version of this text that the church gives to us, the very end of this conversation where Jesus actually has a conversation with the Pharisees, they ask him, they said, surely we are not also blind, are we? Because Jesus is telling them, he's basically like, look, you guys need to get over this. And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see, so your sin remains. So there's also this element of God coming to us in our blindness, not for the purpose of punishing us and judging us, but for the purpose of freeing us.
Amen.
So he doesn't judge us because of where we are, but he does judge us with what we do with where we are.
Yeah.
And if we acknowledge, man, I'm a mess, I need help, get me out of this, Lord, he is there to help us. But if we say, no, I not only am I okay because I have all
this,
I got this, but I'm also going to judge other people and condemn other people and condemn God, because that's what they were doing. The Pharisees were condemning God. They were condemning Jesus, saying, nope, you did this in the wrong way. It's like once you take that control and you declare yourself to be all-seeing and knowledgeable, now you are culpable for that darkness.
There's no question about it. And I'm sure the Pharisees were shocked about how this miracle went down. Number one, it went down on the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. So right away, that's going to set them off. But again, the spit and the dirt, I'm sure that just offended them. You know, you have to think of these Pharisees. These were really put together guys. They were living like mini royalty during that time. Nothing dirty would touch them. And then Jesus did this in this really ordinary way. And what always gets me thinking about this, and I wish it would last longer, but it honestly, it'll last for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
In those ordinary moments in my life, when I'm mowing the lawn, when I'm washing dishes, when I'm doing any of these ordinary things, am I looking for God at that moment? And usually the answer is no. But he's there.
Hmm. It's easy to get locked into the mundane things of life that we think are so important. And maybe that's part of our blindness, Jim, isn't it? You know, to just...
For me, it is.
For fail to see what's important, what really truly matters, and to be blind to those things. I mean, we've all seen, and I know in your work you have especially, people who are highly functioning in the things that the world has deemed important. You know, they can make money. They can have a good golf score. Their investment portfolio is on track. They're successful from a worldly perspective, but yet their family's falling apart. their soul is in disarray. They have their relationship with God is non-existent. And because of all that, they're miserable.
Yes.
And it feels like they're just stumbling through life, but because they've achieved certain things, everybody else is saying, oh, you've arrived, but they know in their own hearts that it's really darkness.
Right. And only by finding God in those everyday moments, I think, can you pull yourself, well, can he pull you out of that darkness? You have to cooperate with him to do that. But it's not going to be lightning bolts and unicorns. It's going to be in those everyday moments with dirt and spit.
Yeah. And I think what's funny is, You know, there's another passage where Jesus is talking to this man that's in the long, again, in the longer version, because we read the shorter version of the gospel. The one you might hear in Mass this weekend, it could potentially be a lot longer. But there's a moment when Jesus encounters this man who was, by the way, thrown out of the synagogue because he professed faith in Christ. And Jesus encounters him. And this man says, "I do believe, Lord." And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." And that's really the message to the world, is that, look, you've got to be blind to the things that the world says are important, yeah, so that you can see the things that God says are important. Because you can't look at everything equally, Jim. You can't say, "I'm here to have it all. I want to be able to have everything the world has to offer and have everything that Christ has to offer." You've got to be blind to one so that you can see the other, because they are in two competing states. Like as John says in the beginning of his gospel, darkness and light. And he also said that there are some who preferred the darkness to the light. And you have to ask yourself, my friends, what is it that you prefer? Because one will chase the other away. These are two things that are incompatible. The moment that you have light, darkness is gone. Mm-hmm. And so you can't have darkness and light in the same space.
Right, right. And it's a good question to ask, because the scripture should have us pondering, what are the areas of darkness in my life that I prefer?
Amen.
I'm sure nobody listening to this radio show, nobody taking part in these weekly gospels is 100% dark. Impossible. You couldn't be here if you were. But there's areas of our life where we prefer darkness. And that's what God is asking us to look at. What are those areas? Where do we need that blindness healed?
And I think about the work that you do, Jim, with people who struggle, particularly with these types of sins that thrive in the darkness. Mm-hmm. You know, people who are addicted to pornography or things like that, who those are things done in secret, in darkness. Yep. And what Jesus wants to reveal to people is, look, one of the most important things that you have to recognize is those sins are never going to get healed if you keep them in the darkness. You've got to bring them out into the light. And what's amazing is once you do, it's like the power all disappears. And now you can see, because if that sin is able to keep you in darkness, then you don't know which way to go in order to be healed. But as soon as the light goes on and it's exposed, now you can be led by Christ out of that. But the goal of the darkness is to keep you there.
Amen. Amen. And we all have those areas of our life where that goal is to keep us there. And whether that's a spiritual growth issue, relationship issues, addiction issues, doesn't matter. We choose that.
And I want to invite our listeners today, in light of this gospel, to recognize that Jesus is trying to show you where you are blind. And he's inviting you to come out of that, but that's going to mean you got to cooperate.
Amen.
That's good. And what I want to challenge you today with is to do so. Whatever he's calling you to do to come out of that darkness and into the light, recognize this: you will be better off in the light than the darkness. But the darkness is going to try to hang on to you and tell you that you need it, but don't listen. Listen to Jesus, who's reaching out to you with the light of life, saying, "Come and follow me, and I will bring you out of that. I will deliver you out of this so that you can truly be free." So whatever that is for you, friend, find someone who can reveal that to you, to help you. And maybe step one, Jim, is just admitting that you have that darkness, admitting Amen. That you have that blind spot, saying, "Look, I know that I'm stuck here." Would you take this week and admit that to a trusted friend in your life, my friends listening today? Would you just take that first step and make that phone call, tell someone, have that meeting where you will admit to another person that you are stuck in this darkness and that you want to come out. Jim, I have to believe, I'm not an expert on all this stuff like you are, but I have to admit, or I have to think that that's probably step one, isn't it?
Yeah, that is step one in any recovery program for any struggle in our life, is admitting that, hey, look, I'm stuck in this darkness, whatever it is. I can't come out of it, but with the help of God, I can recover. And that first step is admitting that you are stuck and there's nothing you can humanly do. And when we do that to another person, we get a companion in the journey. And so as long as that's a trusted person, you should find great solace in that they are going to accompany you on this recovery with the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Wow, Jim, thank you so much for sharing that. And I want to thank you for joining me here today on Reflections from the Heart. Friends, it's just amazing, isn't it, that we have these gospels to listen to. And I want to encourage you, if you'd like to know more about the work Jim is doing, check out integrityrestored.com and get involved in what he's doing to help this. And if you find yourself in that kind of darkness, reach out to Jim, and I'm sure he'd be willing to do anything that he can to help you. And make sure that you are taking time to study this reading. Go back and read John chapter 9 on your own and ask the Lord to use that to reveal these things to you as well. Well, Jim, once again, time's gone fast, and I want to thank you for joining me here on Reflections from the Heart. My friends, you're going to have Jim leading this discussion over the next couple of weeks, and you're going to be blessed to do that. So thank you so much, dear friends, for joining us here on Reflections from the Heart. Let the Lord guide you out of that darkness into light, and I guarantee you will be better off for it. Friends, thanks so much once again. Take care, and God bless.
Reflections from the Heart has been presented by Stewardship, a Mission of Faith. We hope that you've been blessed and encouraged as you listen to Reflections from the Heart. If so, please consider participating in a Gospel Reflection group. For more information on locations and times of Gospel Reflection groups, or how to start a Gospel Reflection group in your area, and to learn about all of the family of ministries, please visit our website at stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization and depends on donations from people like you to make Reflections from the Heart possible. If you've enjoyed this broadcast, please prayerfully consider partnering with us by making a tax-deductible donation by visiting stewardshipmission.org or call us at 717-367-0100. On behalf of all of us at Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, thank you for listening. And until next time, may God bless, protect, and guide you on your journey home to Him.